In talking about the idea of giving as a lifestyle for us as Christians, one of our favorite verses here at Mosaic, you know it, it's Acts 20:35, but I want to read the whole verse for a greater context. And it says this, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it is what? More blessed to give than to receive." Let's pray. Father, again, we just thank you for this beautiful springtime here in the Bitterroot Valley. We thank you that we get to live in such a gorgeous place. And thank you for the freedom we have to assemble together to worship you, together as a spiritual family. And as we always pray, Lord, we pray for spiritual eyes that see what you want to say to our hearts this morning. We pray for spiritual ears to listen carefully to the words of Scripture and to what you're doing in our lives and our families. And we give you thanks for all this more, this and more in Jesus' name, saying amen. So the 40-day Lenten season is beginning to kind of come to an end. It's hard to believe that next Sunday is Palm Sunday already. And I always loved Palm Sunday as a kid because it's the one day you can take branches and foliage, drag it through the church, whip your little brother with it, and be commended for it. This is good. So I've always loved this. And yes, we will have palms. The Lenten season, there's usually three major topics that Christians have observed since the very beginning throughout church history. And it is fasting, prayer, and giving. And I thought about this a little bit this week. Fasting traditionally is, you know, from food or drink. But currently, in today's sort of society, it could easily be withdrawing from various forms of social media because, as one Christian author has said, we have become disciples of the internet. And this has real spiritual implications for the followers of Jesus Christ. I have found it helpful. One of the things I'm fasting from this Lenten season is Facebook. It's like, well, that's kind of ridiculous. Well, not for me, because I all those dumb little reels. Those reels just got to be a problem, you know. And I've shared this, whatever. It's like, you know, before I know it, I'm watching 30 minutes of Kung Fu Cat. Oh, he's going to wreck that dog. I can't wait for this. It's like, dude, do something else, okay? Really, maybe it's something else for you. Never before in the history of humanity has a people, a nation, had more abundance than we do as Americans and less wellness. This should give us pause. We should be thinking about this. Did you know fasting used to be a practice that was common among Christians throughout time and space? Today in America, I call it the lost discipline. I mean, man, if we don't get our three squares a day, you know, we use language like, I'm starving. It's like, no, you're not. We can look around the world. People are starving, but most of us sure are not. Now, prayer is the second big topic that should be of obvious spiritual importance, along with regular Bible reading and church attendance, not just during Lent, but throughout the year. You know, have you ever thought about prayer as, you know what prayer is? Prayer is breathing. That's your spiritual breath. And last time I checked, you need to breathe moment by moment, day by day. You know, when people are really upset, what do they often say? Just breathe. Just breathe. You know, prayer is breathing, and we need to do that. I love what Brother Lawrence said in the 1600s. He said, you know what this thing is called? It's called practicing the presence of God in your life. Are you moment by moment aware of the Spirit's presence in your life and in this world? I think if there's one basic spiritual indicator of your health spiritually as a Christian, it's going to be your dailies. Greg talked about this a little bit in Adult Ed. That daily time with the Lord, with scripture, prayer, your praise music, whatever that may be for you. That is your foundation. That is your dailies. And then, of course, finally, the third big Lenten theme is giving. Now, giving needs to be a lifestyle for us as Christians. It's much more than just throwing a couple bucks in the plate as it goes by, though churches definitely need your regular giving, including Mosaic. You know, there are still such things as things called the state church. in various European countries where the government pays for the church buildings and for the pastors and priests, right? It's like, that's such a foreign concept. You know, churches rise and fall in America based on hands and feet, right? People vote with their voices, their hands, and their feet, and if they don't like it, those things die, and churches are dying as we speak. Look what happened during COVID. Tons got shut down, right? And never revived again. So giving is a lifestyle. It helps us to build the kingdom of God here in this place as well. And so the idea for this morning is to help us think a little bit about throughout time and space, our God is a giving God. Notice how God gives and gives and gives. And why giving is important to your spiritual health and growth as a follower of Jesus. Now, I fully realize, we've all seen it, where these things can be abused by some Christians and they leave a really bad taste in some of our mouths. We've seen this abuse. You know, especially crooked televangelist types, right, over the decades. The good news is that sooner or later, most of them are caught or shown for what and who they are. Kind of like the time when a televangelist at a mega church down south was collecting money from the faithful by promising them that he could help anyone with anything they needed. Young man left the audience, went up on the stage, asked the televangelist to pray for his hearing. Televangelist started praying in gibberish, you know, just on and on, right? Took the young man by the shoulders, started shaking him, cupped his ears, and shouted to heaven, "He's cured, thank you, Jesus." And then the televangelist turned to the young man and said, "How's your hearing now?" To which the young man replied, "I don't know, preacher. My court hearing isn't until 2 p.m. next Thursday." Oh, that hearing. Man, ask questions, people. Be shameless in asking questions. Don't assume. You know, I'll just leave it there. The good news is that, you know, Jesus is really able to make the deaf hear. I mean, physically, we know that. And he's also able to save young men during court hearings. I've seen that happen before as well, depending on the hearing. But really, Jesus's inaugural words of his ministry were from Isaiah 61, right? This has to do with restoring sight and hearing and all of that kind of thing. Jesus started his ministry saying this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Why? Because our God is a giving God. And I don't mean any of that health and wealth teaching garbage on TV. I hate that stuff. Hate it, right? The name it and claim it heresy. If you name it and claim it in Jesus' name, it's yours. Really? Show me in the scriptures, right? This is American hucksterism, right? God has loved us throughout time. We see a giving God throughout the scriptures. He's good. He's gracious. He's generous. He loves us with an everlasting love, right? Just march through the scriptures with me for a second to see that God is a God who gives and gives, right? God completed creation. And as a master artist, he said what? It is good. He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and led him to the promised land, gave him a promise of land, descendants, and blessing. God raised up Moses on the adventure of a lifetime. We talked about that a little last week. He generously freed his people from slavery in Egypt. He provided for them for 40 years until they got back to the promised land. God gave his people houses they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant, and water from wells they did not dig. When his people became what the prophets call spiritual prostitutes, he pleaded for them to return through his prophets. And how did the people return God's generosity? And by killing said prophets, right? God rescued them time and time again. And when his people were oppressed by foreign powers because of their continual spiritual unfaithfulness, he rescued them. Right? And then, as Paul says, in the fullness of time, he gave the incomparable gift of his only begotten son, born into a filthy stable on a chilly evening. right? All scripture testifies to the goodness, the graciousness, the generosity of our giving God. And that's why I think it's so spiritually sad when people forget the kindness and generosity of our Heavenly Father, because it's sometimes easy to confuse it with the smallness and meanness of some of our worldly and earthly fathers, isn't it? Right? Our Heavenly Father is very different. Kind of like the time when a teacher was giving her elementary school classroom a math lesson, and she asked one of her students a question. She said this, if you have $2 and you ask your father for two more dollars, how many dollars do you have? And the young boy said, well, I have $2. And she said to the young man, she said, I don't think you've learned your addition tables yet. And he said, lady, I don't think you know my father. You know, how often do we think of our Heavenly Father as kind of a mean earthly father when he's not? He's a giving God, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? How about one of the most famous verses in the Bible? Isn't that a giving verse? John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's an invitation. That's our generous, giving God. Before Jesus ascended into heaven after the 40 days after his resurrection on that first Easter morning, he appointed his followers, including you and me, to be the heralds and ambassadors of this good news, to be Jesus' generous hands and feet to a lost and dying world, to proclaim and give God's extravagant love, right? Right? Because Jesus said what? Memorize this verse. It's so good. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, there's a word that you may not have heard for a while. Maybe it's a little old-fashioned. Extravagance. Right? Extravagance could be defined as lacking restraint in spending money or resources, exceeding what's reasonable or appropriate. Right? Maybe it could be that. That could easily be the case. It could be in regards to the world of fashion. A lot of people are slaves to fashion. Rampant materialism in the West, unrestrained consumption and lifestyles. But consider it differently in the Christian life. When you consider God's gift to the world of his only begotten Son, how would that qualify as anything less than extravagant? In paying for the debt of sin that no one could pay for themselves, in and of themselves, wasn't Jesus' sacrifice of himself on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, the absolute and ultimate gift of extravagance? Do we think about that? Was it prudent, right? Did it show measured discretion and modesty? Was it excessive and unnecessary? Of course it was necessary. So when it comes to showing the love of God as the followers of Jesus, let's lack all restraint. How about that? Lack all restraint. Apart from the extravagant love, this world will never, ever experience, let alone accept, the extravagant gift of new and eternal life in Jesus Christ, right? Because didn't Jesus say this? It's more blessed to give than to receive, right? You know, we can march through the New Testament, countless examples of Jesus' extravagant love through his extravagant giving, right? Just think about it. Jesus cast out demons. He healed the blind and deaf and paralyzed. He ate in the homes of notorious sinners. That got him in trouble. He taught the crowds free of charge. Did you notice he often threw in a free lunch to boot? How about that? That's pretty cool. Some people really just liked his lunches. Okay. He raised the dead. He blessed children. He challenged the proud. He went to the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead, says the ancient creed, right? Jesus didn't only say it's more blessed to give than to receive. He actually did it. And you know what? He continues to do it today. But have you ever noticed, I have, that some of the biggest complaints against radical giving and extravagant love in the Christian life actually comes from some of our fellow Christians? I don't think so in this fellowship. It rarely comes from unbelievers, I've noticed. You know, say, oh, you're just going overboard. What is wrong with you? It's like, what's wrong with you, right? let's not be surprised if, and if you engage in such a lifestyle of giving, that you are chided and even rebuked by some well-meaning Christians in the community, right? I choose to call these people the frozen chosen. You may have other names for them, which may or not, may not be appropriate for church. We'll call them the frozen chosen, right? They criticize radical giving and extravagant love, but that's part and parcel of our vision as a church, our values and missions as Mosaic Church. That was one of the things that impelled us to start this church, right? That kind of radical, extravagant love that we've experienced in Christ. Right, throughout our eight-year history, we have witnessed countless miraculous movements of our good, gracious, generous, and giving God in our midst. You, if you know me, you know I can go on and on about this. I'll try and be brief, right? But you could add stories to this, right, of God's extravagant giving. He has and he continues to lead us in this area of radical and extravagant giving. Well, today's potluck Sunday. We've taken tons of potluck food and benevolence to the dear folk at the Rainbow. That's been fun, right? I did a little math, and math is not my strong suit, but I can round things out, okay? Right? In the last 8 years, we have provided over 3,000 Christmas meals to our community. $50,000 in gift cards. We partnered up with the old Merck, Bowers Market, and they said, we'll provide all the food and the money and the gift cards. Can you get it to the community? I was like, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Most churches can't push this around because they just don't have the infrastructure, or they start fighting. First time I did this at the other place, people argued, oh, I don't know if we should do that. And, well, I think we should do that. I'm like, why don't you just shut up and let's minister to the community? Yeah, that was popular. Just move on. Move on in Jesus' name. 8,000 Christmas cookies of love. That's a lot of bacon. Thank you, ladies. Glowing articles in the Ravalli Republic. Nearly I think it's around 5,000 pounds of food to Haven House Food Bank in 8 years. Oh, I like this one. At least 75,000 pieces of Halloween candy. This is what you've been up to, right? 3,325 approximately OCC shoeboxes of Christian love to third world children. An estimated impact, I am told by leaders like Greg and Debbie, that the impact of a box in a third world community is about sevenfold. It influences whole families. So if that's the case, then that means the total impact of shoeboxes coming out of this church, 23,275 people. Uh-huh. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? While Mosaic alone accounts for 8 to 9% of the total shoeboxes given in the entire greater Missoula area. Oh, we may be small, but we're mighty. I'm not bragging. I'm just pointing out what God has done, because we have a giving God, a generous God, and so we open our hands and hearts too, right? That's what we get to do. Oh, but wait, there's more, right? 4 years ago, Mosaic went from being monthly renters to nearly becoming homeless to God giving us this building and Elevate Fitness as our tenant. We actually pay, I think it's $50 a month less by owning the joint than renting it. How cool is that, right? You raised over $100,000 in 8 weeks. Remember that? That was amazing, right? We got this building for $339,000. That's both sides. Let's ask Mr. Foss, our real estate expert. Mr. Foss, what is this building worth in your professional opinion today? Round number. $1 million. 4 years ago. That's a pretty good rate, isn't it? We still got to pay the thing off. But we're doing good. I think we're in 70, what are we, 70 more? Seven? How much? How much? $65,000 we still owe on the building from 4 years ago. Thank you. This is my point. God is radically giving, so we get to radically give as well. These are just a little State of the Union, I guess, here too, huh? This is good. Wow. Countless free community meals, countless bottles of water during Daily Days and Fair Parade. One of the things, because I'm a child, some vendors out here get mad with Mosaic Church. You know why? Because we give the water away for free and we don't charge a dollar or $2. And it's cutting into their bottom line. It's like, hey, just give it away for free. How about that? How dare you? How dare you not? Right? Okay, where are we here? Oh, free online streaming service that now reaches people all over our nation. So we even have a few certain international viewers. When my father was still alive, it's been 3-year anniversary this week, I was like, oh, the wonders of technology. Because he used to watch the stream, my sermons, and then he would call me and critique my sermon. I saw your sermon. You know, I think you could have done something else there. I'm like, ah. The wonders of technology. It was awesome. We have people tuning in that aren't in the area. It's cool. Don't forget our regular, vigorous benevolence ministry, helping single moms. Oh, I could go on and on about those precious stories. Other specific needs in our ever-increasingly expensive Bitterroot Valley, not to mention inflation. Oh, the ladies down at Haven House love you guys, because we just keep bringing in food. The needs for food alone, 35% higher this year, right? This is just a reality, right? So much more could be said, but needless to say, we have a good, gracious, generous, and giving God reminding us, memorize the verse, Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to what? Give than to receive. And I am so very grateful to be a part of this church. This church is not simply a congregation. This is a spiritual family, right? And don't worry, you don't have to like everyone in your family. You don't in your physical one, right? There's always a few crack, you know, heads. I mean, it's just on and on. But we get to be a spiritual family together, right? Not based on blood. Remember, Jesus said that it's the spiritual ties that are the deepest, not the blood ones, right? Many of you have experienced that as well. So much more could be said. Grateful to be a part of this. This is a faithful, extravagantly giving church, and we do that because God first did that to us. So let me go on record on this one, just so you know. I have no idea who gives what. Zero. I never see, every once in a while I'll get a financial little update, here's kind of where we're at, whatever, from Sarah, but I do not know who gives what, and I don't know who doesn't give, right? And I don't want to know. And I will never know, right? But to those who do give, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the kind of stuff we get to do and be a part of and push into in the future. And let me offer a little challenge. Those who do not give, can I kindly ask you a simple question? Why not? Didn't Jesus say it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? Is it an issue of faith over fear, right? Maybe you just need to repent. Didn't God say it's more blessed to give than to receive? There is blessing. Now, I'm not doing the televangelist thing. Give to the Lord through my hands. You know, it's like, shut up, you know? Cancel him, you know? But we get there is a blessing when you give. You know this, some of you. And if you get this one right, ooh, your Christian life will go into the stratosphere. It's amazing. It really is. As you probably know, when we started this church, we said several radical things. We said we would never carry more than 6 months' operating budget in our general fund. And for a while, we were able to do that. I can tell you in full honesty, we haven't been doing that in 4 or 5 years probably, right, Sarah? Or longer, maybe? Or even longer. Okay. That's okay, right? That has been no problem for us, but in the interest of full disclosure, and you might find this interesting, when we started the church 8 years ago, financial giving was vigorous and at quite a high. You know, when you start a new thing, people often are excited, as well as people in the community. This was a joy. Some of the guys remember. When a business couple, prominent business couple, came to me one day and said, we love what you want to do. We want to give you a check for you to help start Mosaic Church. I was like, okay, $100,000. One check. Now, since then, we've had a couple 50,000s, which helped us to get rid of that old coal-fired chimney that almost made a land bridge to the pasty company. You can't see some of this, but Jeff has now made a great storage closet for it. But we've been able to do repairs on our 100-year-old building, right? New lights, stuff like that, because of those. We got a couple $25,000 checks, but it's been some time since we've had the big checks to kind of help do some of this stuff. But we praise God for that when we saw it. Now, haven't seen anything like that in a while. Here's the deal with churches, all churches. There's ebb and flow. Some people move away. We see that in the valley because of the pricing. Some people leave for personal reasons or whatever, that happens. More recently, we've been ministering to younger couples who typically don't have the same finances as older folk, that they've built that up. I say that but want to preface it with this. Mosaic Church is fine. We're doing okay, and we'll continue on. I think we've got, a month and a half in the bank, Sarah? Of expenses. That's just kind of where we're at. Would you pray about that as well as your giving to levels to Mosaic Church? I'm not sure I've ever preached a giving sermon like this before, but it's important. You know, God's standard is the tithe. For some of you, like, tithe, what's that? Middle English word, 10%. I got to give to God 10%. It's encouraged, right? It's in the Bible. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, pray about that. Or would you pray about just your levels of giving? And that could be funds, but it can also be service, of course, right? That's really huge in our community. We do a lot of community service here as well, right? Here's a thought, because I'm thinking about this myself a little bit. Do you have a will? I've been asked this. I'm getting to that age. I'm like, no. Well, you need to get one. Oh, okay. Right? If you don't have a will, and you're a little bit older, that's worth thinking about, right? Trusts, right? I need to do that myself. What about giving a legacy to Mosaic Church, right? Maybe to help pay off our building? I'm looking forward to the day when we can have a mortgage burning up here. We're further along than I thought. Thanks, Sarah. So it tells you what I know. But I've been a part of those once or twice before, and they're a lot of fun because it creates so much more space when you don't have a mortgage, right? Sometimes people forget, you know, the government doesn't give us free lights or free anything, actually. It's you guys. And that's how it works in America. So maybe to pay off the mortgage, or, you know, if you have a real heart for benevolence or something, a one-time big gift, you know, where we can just work on that. We've done so much. I can't share a lot of specifics for sake of dignity of folk, but let me just say, single moms has been huge, helping them out with stuff. Maybe a medical bill, a cleaning, something for a little one that they just can't swing. And we've been able to do tons of that. That's been huge, and we love it, right? Again, the point is, consider what God has done in the last 8 years. What do you think God wants to do in the next 8 years? This is going to be fascinating. How would you like to be a part of that and more? See, as Christians, we have to get beyond the scarcity mindset. Well, I just don't know if I'm going to have enough, or maybe I can do this or whatever. Man, look how generous God is. You cannot outgive God. I remember hearing, remember the Promise Keepers back in the 90s? I'm dating myself. I went to a big rally of men, like 70,000 at Soldier Field in Chicago. That was something. There's no drunken rioting that day, which was helpful. It's a Chicago tradition, as well as voting early and often. But I digress. I remember one speaker, he wasn't even a keynote speaker, but he said this. He said, the last thing to get sanctified for most Christians is their pocketbook or wallet. I was like, oh man, that was money. And, you know, about 70,000 guys all of a sudden were quiet. And it was great. But also singing hymns with 70,000 guys is a lot of fun on the lake shore. But thinking about scarcity mindset, we don't have to live from that. In full faith and knowledge that God can do all we ask and imagine in Christ Jesus. kind of unlike the time, when a robber held up a well-to-do man, pointing his gun at him and said, "Give me all your money." To which the man replied, "Don't you know who I am? I'm a U.S. congressman." To which the robber retorted, "Well, in that case, give me all my money back." You know, you can give to God's house and get a financial and not have to give it to Uncle Sam. You know that, right? Just a thought. Give me my money back. No, God calls us to choose faith over fear. He's proven this to us time and time again. He is a good, gracious, generous, and giving God. Why? Because our God is a radically extravagant and giving God, and he's clearly taught us this. Memorize this verse for your life. It is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the generosity of this gorgeous place that we get to live in. I've lived in some ugly places, Lord, but this is the best. Thank you. Thank you for this beautiful Christian family that you have gathered together. Thank you that we can do life together, ministry together, and we can commune with one another right now. We think of communion as a symbol of your ultimate gift, Jesus, to us, and we rejoice in that. And we also thank you for the food, physical food, and we ask your blessing on the hands that prepared it. We just thank you for this day, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.